balaba gribara bari Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yamuna tira vanacharya Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Balabha Gribara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanacharya Madhava Kunja Vihari Shrila Prabhupada ki Chaya Om Vishnu Pat Parama Hansa Parivra Jagacharya Totara Sata E Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Chaya Om Vishnu Pat Parama Hansa Parivra Jagacharya Totara Sata Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Nanta Koti Vashnava Vrinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prense Kaho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Shri Jagannath Puri Purukshottama Kshetra Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samabeta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Karoti Vishwas Titi Samyamodayam Karoti Vishwas Titi Samyamodayam Karoti Vishwas Titi Samyamodayam Yasyep Sitam Net Sitam Ikshitur Gunaye Yasyep Sitam Net Sitam Ikshitur Gunaye Yasya psitam med sitam ikshitur gunai Maya yathayo brahmate tat ashrayam Maya yathayo brahmate tat ashrayam Maya yathayo bhramate tat ashrayam. Grav no namaste guna karma sakshine. Grav no namaste guna karma sakshine. Grav no namaste guna karma sakshine. Karoti vishwas titi samyamodayam. Karoti vishwas titi samyamodayam. Yasyepsitam nepsitam ikshitur gunai. Yasyepsitam nepsitam ikshitur gunai. Maya yathayo bhramate tad ashrayam. Maya yathayo bhramate tad ashrayam. Grav no namaste guna karma sakshine. Grav no namaste guna karma sakshine. Karoti vishwas titi samyamodayam. Yasyepsitam nepsitam ikshitur gunaye. Maya yathayo bhramate tad ashrayam. Grav no namaste guna karma sakshine. Karoti, performing Vishwa of the universe, Stiti, the maintenance, Samyama, winding up, Udayam, creation, Yasya, of whom, Ipsitam, desired, Na, not, Ipsitam, desired, Ikshituhu, of the one glancing over, Gunaihi, with the moods of material nature, Maya, the material energy, Yata, as much as, Ayaha, iron, Bhramate, moves, Tat Ashrayam, placed near that, Grab Naha, a magnetic stone, Namaha, my respectful obeisances, Te, and to you, Guna Karma Sakshine, the witness of the actions and reactions of material nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of this material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moved under the influence of a lodestone, inner matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. Come. Cool. It's your phone? Okay. So, purport. Sometimes the question arises why the Supreme Lord has created this material world, which is so full of suffering for the living entities entrapped in it. The answer given herein is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. The Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. Next paragraph. The workings of nature are not going on automatically. It is only because the Lord glances over the material energy that it acts in wonderful ways, such as a lodestone causes a piece of iron to move here and there. Because materialistic scientists and so-called Sankhya philosophers do not believe in God, they think that material nature is working without supervision. But that is not the fact. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 6.18.19, the creation of the material world is explained as follows. Yadyapi sankhya mani pradana karana jadaha iti kahu nahi jagat srijana nija srishti shakti prabhu sanchare pradhani ishwarera shakti tabe hae ta nirmane. Atheistic sankhya philosophers think that the total material energy causes the cosmic manifestation, but they are wrong. That matter has no moving power, and therefore it cannot act independently. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with His own creative potency. Then, by the power of the Lord, matters move and interacts. Sea waves are moved by the air is created from ether, the ether is produced by the agitation of the three modes of material nature, and the three modes of material nature interact due to the Supreme Lord's glance over the total material energy. Therefore, the background of all natural occurrences is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sachara Charam. This is also further explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jagat Karana Nahiprakriti Chada Rupa Shakti Sancharya Tare Krishna Kare Kripa Krishna Shakti Prakriti Haya Gauna Karana Akni Shakti Lauha Yajikaraya Jarana Ata Eva Krishna Mula Jagat Karana Prakriti Karana Yaichi Ajagala Stana. So this is the translation. What? Because Prakriti, material nature, is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of the material world. Lord Krishna showed his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert material nature. Thus, Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples of the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. Unquote. Thus, it is a great mistake on the part of the material scientists and philosophers to think that matter moves independently. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Kinanjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yatkripata Mahambande Sri Guru Dinataranam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we continue with the prayers of Mother Bhumi, Mother Earth. And here is being highlighted the point that this material creation that is not the best place for enjoyment, and we may blame who did that. Who did this world, which is full of suffering? This is a reason some people don't believe in God, because they say if there is a God who is all loving, how he can create this world where there is so much suffering going on? Like just in Chicago. It's one of the cities where more people get murdered. A lot of people every month are killed. Like, and we have a suffering caused by nature, tornadoes all over the world, crisis, people's mind. So one may say, why God is creating this? When we are in trouble, we have that nature of pointing to others. So this war, if there is a God, so he is in fault for creating this. And to have that desire of putting the living entities in this suffering. Other people say, okay, there is no one created this world, because who can be responsible for being such a hateful personality who will create this world where people are suffering. But this verse, Mother Bhumi, has another approach. She's taking she's taking responsibility and acknowledge that. She's saying that you didn't desire, Krishna, to create this world. So all the suffering that we are going through, like especially Mother Earth, she has to endure a lot of suffering. She's one of our gurus because she exemplifies tolerance. And she's addressing the Lord in a humble mood. She's not trying to say to the Lord that, look at what you did, you place us in this world, now what to do. But she's just acknowledging that you didn't desire this, we desire to be here. And she's admiring that how Krishna is fulfilling our desire to enjoy here, and he is controlling everything. He's the background of this material world, he's managing, but still he's not responsible for our actions. So in the first paragraph, Prabhupada is addressing this. He's explaining that sometimes the question arises why the Supreme Lord has created this material world, which is so full of suffering for the living entities entrapped in it. The answer given herein is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. The Supreme Lord create this world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. It's a very fundamental point. I remember when I was a child, I have a toy. It's a very helicopter. How do you call the helices? Propellers to make the helicopter fly. So I have a very nice helicopter that I saw in the TV, and then I asked my father to buy it. And he got it, but the first time I make it fly, it fly very nicely, but then fall down. When it fall, the propellers break down. So I was crying. And so my father said, no, don't worry, I will fix it. So he started with some stick elements. He fixed it, the propellers. But he told me, but don't use it now, because it has to dry. So if you use it now, it won't work. It will break again. And I was saying, oh, but after 1 minute, can I use it now? He said, no. So 2 minutes, I can't use it now. It seems it's okay. He said, no, don't use it because it will break. And I said, but I want to use it. It seems it is ready now. And he was telling me, don't use it because it will break again, and then we cannot fix it again. And so he left, and I used it. And I, very happily, I make it fly, and surely it break down. And then I blame my father. Why? You didn't, you allowed me to do it. He said, you wanted to do it. I told you not to do it. He said, but why you didn't explain me more? And he said, he didn't say anything else. He said, you want it? You deserve it. So in this, my reaction was immediately I didn't take responsibility and I started blaming him, although he advised me. So in the same way, this material world, we complain, like we complain to Krishna or to anyone else, but the scriptures, they tell us that it's our fault to be here. We desire this. Like, I think it was Indradyumna Swami, if someone knows this past and can correct me, that he asked Srila Prabhupada as an argument. I don't know if it was him or he told the story. But let's say the Prabhupada disciple, he wanted to leave the movement and was trying to find an excuse, philosophical excuse. And that the excuse was, why Krishna create this world? Because it's a place of suffering. So he approached Srila Prabhupada and presented that question, and Prabhupada said in an intense way, he explained, you created it, so you desire it. And he smashed the argument. And that devotee stayed in the movement after that. So to swallow this truth is hard for conditioned soul like us, or at least like me, because it's just not a theoretical thing. It will affect, you know, our whole life. Have we accept this truth, that to understand that Krishna didn't desire to create this world. This world is just a reflection of our desire. It's something that is blaming us every day. Our tendency is not to see it in that way, but actually all the effects that we see in this material world is just a reflection of our desire. We wanted this. Anytime we understand a truth of the scriptures, and there is a reaction to that truth, and people will react in different ways. So therefore, accepting the existence of God is not an easy thing. It's not just a question of the people don't accept, or scientists, they don't accept God in their life just because it may not be logical or not, but mainly because accepting the existence of a supreme God, and especially accepting God is all-loving, is a hard one, because it will require a new way of acting. If you accept it, you have to change. Therefore, scientists are intelligent. Those who don't believe in God, they also have God intelligence, and they know that if they accept, if they give credit that this world has been created by a personality, they have to change. Because it's not like some people accept God just because of custom or tradition. So for them it's easy to say, okay, there is a God, but their life are more or less the same than the life of an atheist. They don't, they also perceive the world in the same way, but the only thing is that when you offer a book in the street, they say, I believe in God, I know that, and I have my religion, etc. But people who are more intelligent, they have to really think about that. If there is a God, I have to. If I will accept it, I will have to really change myself. And therefore, it's very hard for some people to accept God, especially for scientists, because they have to change their whole approach. So, but we'll read that part of Srila Prabhupada. The workings of nature are not going on automatically. It is only because the Lord glances over the material energy that it acts in wonderful ways, just as a lodestone causes a piece of iron to move here and there. Because materialistic scientists and so-called Sankhya philosophers do not believe in God, they think that material nature is working without supervision. So we know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself, he explained, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, that this material creation is working under his control. Although we know he didn't desire, but he's controlling. There is no way for us to control this material world. However, very intelligent people, so-called intelligent people, they say that this world is just working because of different random reasons. But we see around the order everywhere. Therefore, cosmos is the universe is called cosmos because cosmos means order. So we see order everywhere, and we accept also everywhere that someone is conducting, so like the lights in the streets, they change all the time, but every intelligent people, they accept that the lights are being managed by another people. So if it's in Chicago transit, for 1 minute, the people who are working, controlling the transit, stop working, there will be chaos all over the CTA train. If nobody is controlling it, there will be chaos. There will be chaos in the airplanes if nobody is controlling. So, therefore, Krishna said, Sutre mana, what is the verse? Maya idam sarvam protam sutrimani ganaiva. The Krishna is in the background, as a thread is sustaining the purse on a collar. Krishna is sustaining this creation. And it seems something very simple to see for everyone here. It's obvious, but for some scientists, that is not obvious because they need more some proof, etc. But actually, behind all that is the question of the accepting a person who is more powerful than me, who is conducting everything, and accepting that means I will have to accept rules because he is setting the rules how to live in this world. So it's for people who have power, that's very difficult to accept. For someone who doesn't have power, to accept that someone else is controlling is not much. It's not a big issue. We accept that nothing changed. But if you are the owner of a car mistakenly, and then you find out that actually the car pertains to other person, you will be in trouble. If you are attached to the car, you will present many reasons why the car is yours. It's not from that person. So in the same way, the way human beings behave is as this world pertains to us. And to prove in another way, we require a change of consciousness, a change in organizing society. Like Sri Upanishad explained, Isavasya Nidam Sarvam, that this world already has an owner, it's Krishna, and there is a way to live, that you have to accept your, understand what is your quota, what you supposed to use for in everyday life, and don't accept things that are not assigned to you. So it's another paradigm. And for those who rule, that is a trouble, because that paradigm that Isha Upanishad is presenting is God-centered. And the paradigm we are living is more man-centered. And doesn't divide things as your as Krishna wants, but here is like a social Darwinism. Whoever is more strong, he will get more power, and he will get more facilities. It's a struggle for survival. So the world is planned in such a way that it's a competition, and you have to compete to gain your quota. You have to get to work for it. And if you want more, you can have, but you have to work more and more and more. And some people are successful in this plan, and other people not. So this is the point I want to make, that there is a great change on behavior if we accept or we don't accept the existence of God. And also, once we accept the existence of God, there is another big step to accept that we desire this material creation. We desire to be here. We are suffering from our own decision. We are responsible for the enjoyment and for suffering here. Then another point of account from here is why we believe in the Vedas. Because there are, Prabhupada explained that in another part of his mission, that there is no way to prove actually that some statement from the Vedas, and also there is no way to see God in an empirical way, to prove the existence of God without having some faith. You can say by logic, but finally you need faith, because faith is related to humbleness and acceptance. So you really need to accept something. However, in the world we are living now, there are many, and Prabhupada also give instruction that we have to, some devotees who are into the science field, they have to write books and convince people through different arguments. But finally, what is required for a bhakta is only to accept the scriptures, the truth of the scripture, because there is no, many truths are not, there is no way to prove them, because we don't have the experience, like this prayer that are occurring in different parts of the earth or the universe, and we cannot see them, and we cannot see Mother Earth. We can perceive, feel, but we cannot see her. So all these things, we can use the logic, but at one point we don't have the power to prove them. So Prabhupada just gave a simple solution, which is just to understand our position as a very little creatures in the universe, that we are like ants in a garden, and we don't have much power to understand what's going on. So we just have to accept and trust in whom. We have the option of trust in people like us, who have more scientific knowledge, and they are giving an explanation of the universe that we cannot experience or we cannot prove by ourselves. So we have to accept, or we can accept the version of liberated souls. So those who are like us, and they are presenting a version of the universe and that there is no God, they have four defects like us. No? They commit mistakes, they are under illusion, driven by their senses, and they have a limited mind, anumana. But how and there, on the other hand, we have personalities, great personalities, who claim to have a contact with God and whose behavior is beyond our standard of good behavior. Is even beyond that. There are amazing personalities, and they are giving a proposal. And these personalities are from all times. No, there are not just ancient personalities while we live in. We have Srila Prabhupada, who was here, and disciples of him, etc., that they are present in this version, and we can, so we have the option. So Prabhupada said, regarding detail of the universe, be satisfied by reading only Bhagavatam. What is the use of reading other books? You are not going there. Simply keep faith that whatever we describe, that is a fact. After all, we are insignificant creatures in the universe. So whether you take the two modern scientists or Sukadeva Goswami, it is inconceivable. It is best to keep the faith in Sukadeva Goswami, because actually our only business is to go back home, back to Godhead. So whether Sukadeva Goswami or the modern scientists are right or wrong, it is nothing interesting to us. We want to back home, back to Godhead. So there is a main urgency that we don't like this place, basically, in the sense that we don't want to die and suffer. We want to stop suffering. Any transcendentalist is looking for that. And we want to go back to Godhead. And there are many other issues about the scripture. This is wrong, this is right, this is this issue, this truth, this is not truth, and regarding even our spiritual theology and society and that issue, but everything reduced to that desire. Do we want to go back to Godhead? And the simple truth, most important truth, are simple. Everything around become a little bit complicated. But the most simple, even regarding Guru, regarding Krishna, regarding our position here, is very clear. And that's what Prabhupada make this many statement that Hare Krishna movement is simple. So that's my points. I'm sorry, it's very basic, but I understand it is very basic, and what I'm presenting is basic. But however, is I think there is a lot to learn if we try to apply the basics. Yes, Prabhu.
In the purport, you know, Prabhupada says sea waves are moved by air, the air is created from ether, the ether is produced from the educated of the three modes of nature, and the three modes of nature interact due to the Supreme Lord's glance over material energy. So, you know, my understanding of the three modes of material nature are the coverings of the living entity, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And when they interact, then Prabhupada's talking about the ether, the air, and all these other things. So that leaves a little, maybe a little room for discussion. Maybe you're not, qualified to speak on that, but I just thought maybe, you know, somebody might be able to say something. I hope I didn't try to, you know, bewilder you by the question, Prabhupada.
No, if you can... Somehow I have difficulty to understand the English. Your question is that we are bewildered by the mood of nature. But here Prabhupada is explaining about the material elements.
Yeah.
Also saw how that is the connection between mood of material nature and the material elements.
Mm. We you know, we hear that when the ether becomes contaminated, then the other things follow in consecutive order.
Yes.
So.
So we have first the material elements are coming first as ether with the quality of sound, and then you have air, which brings the sense of touch, like that, and then form kind with fire, and all are combining, and then water, and come taste, and everything combining, and then finally earth, which is the most gross. They have all the sound, the smell. So these constitute the material elements, and these material elements are not the cause of the subtle elements. They are an effect of subtle elements. Therefore, we come even in gross elements. We are coming from subtle: ether, air, fire, water, and earth. In the same way, there are three subtle elements: in false ego, intelligence, and mind. And also, one is subtle than another. So mind is gross than intelligence, and intelligence is gross than false ego. So they all are coming from the false ego. So from mind will come the other elements. We first perceive the world in our mind, or a creation, like a construction. It's first in the mind, and then it's come to reality. It comes in the gross manner. Intelligence and direct the mind, and false ego is the cause that we are here. It's the connection between the soul with the material world, at the point of connection. And those are coming from mind. False ego and intelligence are coming from the mood of nature. It's just a reflection. The mood of goodness with false ego creates the mind. Mood of goodness with false ego, I'm wrong, you can correct. It's created intelligence, mood of passion. So intelligence comes from passion, mind comes from goodness. And so that's the connection I'm seeing. And from mood of ignorance are coming the material elements. Therefore, there are the gross. So that is the mood of nature are subtle than, and they are the cause of all the other creation. So everything we see around us is part of the mood of nature. And the way Bhagavad Gita explained that, after that, the way we behave, everything is conducted by the mood of nature. So we are really entangled in the mood of nature, and even our mind is a product of the mood of nature, our intelligence. So they are not perfect to understand, are not beyond. The only way to understand transcendental topic is receiving transcendental knowledge through the spiritual intelligence, through the soul.
Prabhupada, you know, there's the language barrier, there's definitions, different definitions for different words, but I came up with one the other day in one of the books. Devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada, what is the difference between mind and intelligence? And Prabhupada says, you go to a top of a building and your mind says jump and your intelligence says don't.
Yeah, discrimination.
Hare Krishna.
Intelligence has the power of giving us the power of discrimination. And the Shastra represent that intelligence also, the power of discrimination, because whatever decision even a society takes, or whatever, if it's not guided by the scripture, it will be also a product of the mood of nature, even mind. So as a child has parents to guide their intelligence, and we have the spiritual master and the scripture to guide us, to do discrimination. Therefore, the devotees sometimes say, you're in the mental platform, when we don't just follow our own ideas without checking those with others who have transcendental intelligence. Okay, there is no any more question of corrections. We can Acharya Nishtha.
Thank you very much for the class, Rahul. So, in this context, Maya Dyakshinam Prakriti Siyate Sacharachanam, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the 10th chapter that I withhold and I send forth the rains.
Sorry?
I withhold and I send forth the rains. So how do we understand, every time it's raining, we understand Krishna is making that personal decision, okay, let me send forth the rain. Of course, he's situated in Vrindavan and his super soul expansion, but those type of statements, how do we understand them?
There is an God is responsible in the creation in an indirect way. That's the through his energies, he is directing this world in his Avyaktamurti, a manifesto form. And in his manifesto form, he is enjoying in Vrindavan, in his personal role as the supreme enjoyer. Like in the verses that Prabhupada quotes in this verse are explaining the Advaita Acharya position, who is Mahavishnu. So, how Krishna is expanding into, well, first Balaram, then Balaram in the fourth, then Sankarsa, Prayumna, Niruda, and then from there come another expansion, and finally come the Purusha avatars, whose Mahavishnu is the one who created the universe, and Gaura Kasaya Vishnu enter in every universe, and then as Shirada Kasaya Vishnu enter in every atom. So as Paramatma, he is present, Shirada Kasaya Vishnu, in all the creation, and as Mahavishnu, he's just lying. In every case, the Purusha avatars have their aspect of enjoyment, because they are not doing anything. And Krishna is just lying down, and then from his navel is coming Lord Brahma, the lotus flower, and then Lord Brahma. So he's, even though he's not responsible, like thinking, I'm sending the rains, I'm not sending the rains, he's just there. And as Paramatma, he's sanctioning everything, but he's also impartial. He doesn't do anything. But he has his different agents. We know the demigods. We know that Indra is in charge of the heavens. And as a government, as Prabhupada explained, or king, he's present in all his kingdom by his different energies or different personalities who are taking care. So in one sense, it's not Krishna who is taking care of the deciding when it's raining in Chicago, when it's not raining. In one point, there are many factors that nature, us, and Krishna as the one who is making the sanction. And nature will include also the agents of nature, this material nature, who are the demigods, who are carrying out, helping us to carry out the activity. Even if we want to move our eyelids, our personalities behind subtle that are helping us to do that every moment. So that this nature, our desire, so our karma is involved in rains, like Prabhupada explained. If there is no yagya, And Bhagavad Gita explained, there is no yagya, Krishna, there is no rain. If there is yagya, will come rain. If there is glorification of the Lord, will come rain. So that's our job. The more pious people, the more rain, for example. Less pious, less rain. And then who are providing the rain are the demigods. But who is allowing that to happen is Krishna. So it's at the sanctioner. But in Bhagavad Gita, he gives us the understanding that we can learn to see a Krishna everywhere. Even at the sun, he's the sun. He said, I am the light of the sun, of the moon, etc. So we can also wonder ourselves and see how he's acting through the sun, who is producing also. This is a scientific explanation of rain. How the sun is taking the water from the ocean and then distributing all over the planet in an amazing way, not taking, like, instead of using machines, it's just making the water more subtle and transporting in form of clouds and then pouring rain all over. It's an amazing process. And this is also the intelligence of Krishna is coming from. So I don't know if that answers your question, but Bhagavad Gita explained the three doers and maybe in a devotional way we can see. Devotees chant the holy name, they do kirtan. Machandamali Swami said that the devotees claim we can make this city to in New Vrindavan. They went to the Raya, there was a drought, and the devotees claim that they can make the city, bring rain again to the city. So they were invited to a radio, and so they chanted the holy name, and at the person who was conducting the radio, he explained to everyone, Hare Krishna are saying that if you chant all together with them, rain will come back. So let's try. And so the devotees were leading the kirtan, and people in their homes, they were asked to chant. And then a few hours later, it was raining. So this is another way to see as the super directly coming everything from God. But there are other different angles, vision you can see from karma, from doer, from that. But Krishna is involved more in an indirect way with this, with the creation. This is the indirect cause and the efficient cause. This is Krishna in Goloka Vrindavana. The indirect cause is his material energy and Mahavishnu glancing over material nature. Okay. Thanks. You have something to say? Oh, okay. Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai, Granth Rashmi Bhagavatam ki.